It's the Positive Chats podcast, where we chat with people in ministry and book authors and more each and every weekday morning at 9:35. And then we make those podcasts available on our website and our mobile app so you can listen to them later or share with your friends. And this morning, we have from City Lights Ministry, we have George and Sarah Williams. Good morning and welcome.
Hey, what's up?
All right, excited. You sound excited. We're excited to have you in. First off, let's get to know you guys a little bit. You're married.
Yeah,
in ministry
we sure
together.
Are.
How did you come to do it together?
Well, I applied for an ad in the newspaper for a wife. Sarah responded, but no, I'm just kidding. That's definitely not the case. We were both just hungry for God, met at a church that we were both attending, and I grew a really big, nasty beard. You know, one of those like early 20s looking beards that are sort of patchy because I was really focused on not paying attention to the girls. I just wanted to focus on the Lord, and so I figured if I grew this nasty looking beard, that'd keep the girls away. But it didn't work because Sarah and I fell in love, and right from the get-go, right when we got married, we started ministry. I always tell the story, no one told us we were allowed to, but no one told us we couldn't, so we just did it. And we pioneered an urban missionary center, I guess, a neighborhood outreach ministry, coined ourselves as urban missionaries 16 years ago. I'm sure someone else used that phrase long before us, but we thought we were pretty original in calling ourselves that, and it was a blast. We learned a lot. No one taught us what to do. No one taught us what not to do. Made a lot of mistakes, but saw a ton of victories. And it's amazing when you step out to do the work of the Lord, guided by His wisdom, His Word, guided by His Spirit, with good wisdom, sound judgment, surrounded by people that have gone before you, but you take steps of faith serving God. How amazing the fruit manifests around you. And we saw many people come to Christ, and we baptized them in our basement, in our front yard, in our living room, our bathtub. Anywhere we could find a body of water, we'd dunk them, lead them to the Lord. So,
well, hopefully that didn't cause any situations like that one Geico commercial. They have the little bathtub upstairs. The kids are playing. The water's coming down. Did you guys get kind of water experience?
We may have had some splashes here and there. So that was a fun journey.
Well, let's dig a little deeper into what you guys do. Where are you located, and who do you reach?
Yeah, right now. So we started 16 years ago. We started a ministry called the Lewis House, and people used to think that was our last name. They called us George and Sarah Lewis, but it was actually just on Lewis Avenue. It was a house on Lewis. We're not very creative when it comes to naming ministries. So we started that, and then about 6 years into that, God put on our hearts, and trust me, I tried to push it away. I was like, God, I hear you, but this isn't really convenient for me right now. The call to plant a church, I wasn't excited about that in the least. I loved being a no-rules urban missionary where I could kind of do what I wanted. And there isn't a strong expectation. When you're a pastor, there's an expectation of what you do and how you do it and all those things. But when God made it very, very clear through just a number of different confirmations that we were to plant a church. So it was 10 years ago. We set out to plant City Light Church. Now it's located on Alexis and Telegraph over there. Mm-hmm. But we're not the pastors there anymore.
Oh?
Yeah, we fired ourselves. So it was about a year ago now, God spoke to us really early about transition. I've been kind of, you know, you get these, when God speaks to you, you kind of get this feeling inside of your heart and your spirit. You can't always articulate it with words until it was very clear. Just one day, Sarah and I went on a little trip and spent some alone time with the Lord on, I think we were in Florida at the time, just kind of going for a walk, and just heard the Lord's voice. It's time to transition out. This was January of 2020, and so I asked the Lord, what's next for us? For me, for Pastor George, I knew my next calling was to plant churches, that it wasn't one church, but it was many churches that we could see lives change, a relevant, transformative, powerful message being preached all across America, where new communities of faith could gather in the church that holds those keys to the kingdom that the gates of hell won't prevail against, will continue to grow and expand.
So you're looking to plant churches not only in the Toledo, across the country?
Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure. We're working with a few churches in Michigan right now, a church in potentially a few churches in Williamsburg, Virginia. We have one up and running, possibly a few more. And then we're sending some church planters into Burlington, Vermont, which is an interesting city. It's the hometown of Bernie Sanders. He was once the mayor of that town.
Oh, he was the mayor? I didn't know that.
Yeah,
oh,
wow. That was his beginning of his political career. And I just have this sneaking suspicion that they need a little bit more Jesus in Burlington, Vermont. So
is this like you're planning different campuses, or do you plan a church and then let whoever take it over?
Yeah, they're autonomous churches. Yep. So my role is to identify, train, equip, empower, and release apostolic ministers. You know, when I say that word apostolic, don't get hung up too much on that word. I think more like Paul and Barnabas and Silas and Timothy being sent out across all of, you know, the Mediterranean area to go plant and establish new churches. So that's the work we're doing, is to pioneer new churches all across the eastern part of the United States.
So how do you end up in Virginia, Vermont, Michigan? Is it something that you sought out, or do people seek out you, or is it totally in God's hands?
A little bit of both. So we'll identify a church planter, someone who has a call of God. And hey, if you're a listener and you feel like your heart is beating a little bit faster when you hear my words, I'd love to get connected with you. You can email me at george@ram.network, or you can go to the website ram.network, and I'd love to connect with you. I think it's a powerful thing. But yeah, church planters will connect with me, or we'll do a workshop called I have a workshop called Dream Big, and it's for people that may not have ever felt like they're called to plant a church, but they're interested in exploring the idea, and it's a blast. We do this whole workshop on really deconstructing what we think the church is in our mind. Sunday morning, pews, hymns, great songs, smoke machines, laser light shows, whatever that is in your mind that the church is, and really go back, deconstruct that, and go back to what the scriptures say a church is. It's a community of people devoted to God and are on mission. We realize churches can be formed in houses, in bars, in backyards. They can, you can find them in the deep persecuted areas of Pakistan, or large churches that attract thousands of people. Churches look so many different shapes and models, and I think that we can see that across America, that churches might look different shapes, styles, models, but are still powerful and impactful to make disciples, to reach the lost, and expand the kingdom of God.
So we really can't have too many churches, can we?
Here's the thing. Some people will say that. Don't we have a church on every corner? And I think to myself, well, gosh, the population of America, only less than 10% of the population of America is attending church. If you went up to 30%, our churches would be overflowing. The problem is it's not that we have too many churches. We don't have the mindset that we go out and we make disciples. And so church planting really is a few steps ahead. Really what we're sending people out to go make disciples that form faith communities. So, you know, the ultimate word for the faith community would be a church. So the church is really a healthy byproduct. When Sarah and I got married, our love, ultimately, product of our love was we have two beautiful daughters now. Now, we didn't set out to get married only exclusively to have children. But we fell in love, and children were the byproduct of a healthy marriage. In the same way, we send out people to go make disciples to reach the lost. And if we do that effectively, churches are birthed.
Now, we've seen, especially during COVID, churches closing, just not enough people coming, closing down. Why is that happening, but at the same time, new churches are being planted?
Yeah, every year, before COVID, this is before COVID, statistically, America would close about 4,000 churches. So 4,000 churches across America closed their doors. Unfortunately, during COVID 2020, we saw the largest dip in new churches opening. So we had 4,000 churches close. I think we had around 3,000 new churches across America open. Sometimes, again, when we look at church and we think in our minds, what we've all experienced is a great Sunday morning service where a pastor preaches to us and uplifting worship music. And I never get tired of that. I never get sick of that. But I also know that there's other ways of doing church and experiencing church and creating church that can reach people that may think to themselves, I never want to go into a building like that. For whatever reason, they have a hang-up or a hurt. They never want to go into a building like that, but that does not make them exempt from experiencing the gospel and from becoming a disciple of Jesus. And they might find themselves in a faith community that really all rights and purposes have a lampstand in heaven, just like the book of Revelation, but may not meet in a traditional Sunday morning church building. I love to plant any kind of church. Hey, whatever church is going to win the lost, make disciples, and grow the kingdom of God. So I'm not bent on house churches or you know, groups that meet that are outside. Hey, if a church wants to grow to 1,000 and have a big worship service, I'm in. If a pioneer is going to gather a handful of people in their living room, I'm in. I want to see the kingdom advance, whatever it looks like.
You said, you know, it doesn't matter what kind of church, whether it's a home, a big building, whatever. But I'm sure there's not just, they wouldn't teach just anything. What kind of doctrine, I guess you could say, do you plant in these churches?
Yeah, well, I love the Bible. And I think that's a really good starting ground is to start with the Bible. I love the teachings of Jesus to be born again. I think what you might call traditional evangelical doctrine, we love the Holy Spirit, and so we believe in the Trinity and the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and that Jesus died for our sins as an atonement for our sins, that the Father blessed his Son, and that when Jesus died and rose again, that when he was at the right hand of the Father, that he sent his Holy Spirit to his believers, that we can walk in faith and heal the sick and cast out demons and walk in the power that Jesus set before us to preach the gospel in power and boldness. I don't know if that answers your question.
Yeah, yeah.
I could list off my statements of faith if that would be helpful, but we're connected to a larger organization called Open Bible, and we love Open Bible churches, and they have a really great statement of faith. One of my favorites, as I've looked at all the statement of faiths across, and there's a lot of just great ones, and Open Bible is pretty straightforward, and they say it in such a way that leaves doctrinal room. It's kind of like a bowling lane. There's boundaries to it, but yet there's still a lane to run in. So one of my favorite ones is the second coming of Jesus, that he's going to be visible, personal, and triumphant. That's what we talk about, the second coming of Jesus, but not no dates.
Yeah. We're talking with George and Sarah Williams from City Light Ministries. Sarah, what part do you play in this? What are some of the giftings that you have and the roles that you play?
Yeah, well, we've been on all kinds of adventures, as you've heard, but over the past 6 years, the Lord has really invited me into focusing on helping people get freedom. So the issues of the heart, the things that entangle us and bring us down, there are so many biblical promises for freedom, and we help people connect with that through heart healing and deliverance. And so we actually pioneered a ministry called the Transformation Center, where we meet with individuals one-on-one in a personal confidential session to connect with God and His promises and just help discover the places, the hang-ups, the difficult spots that have just caused issues, but God has freedom for them. You know, Proverbs says that out of the heart flow all the issues of life. So we need to attend to those things and connect with God, because where we go is all contingent on what's going on in our hearts.
Can you share a story, a testimony from your experience?
Because the nature of it is confidential, I don't go into great stories, but I will tell you time and time again, I have people come and sometimes they get nervous. They sit down and, you know, really nervous to open up their heart. But by the end, the thing that I hear most often is, I feel so light. I feel so good. I feel so free, like just like a new person. And I can't believe I was nervous. You know, God, He comes every time. Each session is unique. Each way that He encounters is unique because He's a personal God. But I see over and over consistently, the Bible says that it's His kindness that leads us to repentance. And repentance isn't just a being sorry for our actions, but it's a change of thinking. And ultimately, we connect to the Godhead and we work through these issues of life. I see over and over that He comes and shows a new way to think, and it's a kindness encounter. And that happens, it's visible. There's peace on people's face, on their countenance, and joy that's been restored. Sometimes I say, I've never felt peace like this before.
And George mentioned earlier about, you know, people when come to a church or a traditional church because of an experience with a building or whatever. Have you seen anything, or you know, just people's past experiences, maybe with another Christian or their parents or whatever, that has kept them from going to church?
Yeah, absolutely. Connecting with God is powerful in a corporate type of experience, but sometimes people have disconnected. And I think that a personal session and an encounter with God is so restorative. It can heal those places that have been wounded. And we have lots of areas of life that we can potentially be wounded. But I definitely see people work through forgiveness, through the issues that have caused frustration in their lives, and see that freedom and a change of lenses, because God is always good. He's always kind. He's faithful. And recalibrating with Him is so powerful, despite the disappointments that we've had with.
Sarah, I just feel, can I ask you to pray for people that maybe had a bad experience with somebody or something that is keeping them going to church or seeking the Lord?
So God, right now, I just thank You for every listener who's tuned in. And I right now just want to speak and proclaim a blessing over every person who's listening and can identify with what we're talking about right now. I've been hurt. I've been disappointed. I've been let down in an example or through conversation. I've been hurt. And God, I just acknowledge right now that place of woundedness in the heart. And I invite You, God, in Your kindness to just come and increase Your presence over those that are listening who have been hurt. And I pray in this moment that they would have just a sense that You are for them and that You are not against them, that You want to help them resolve these places of woundedness. God, I pray that hope would be restored, that they would not stay stuck in that place, but that You release the grace. And even right now, I thank You that You're releasing grace so that these would even be able to forgive those that have hurt them and disappointed them. Jesus, You have forgiven us of much. And so even in response to your command that we would forgive so that our sins would be forgiven, I pray that your grace would work right now in these listeners' hearts to say, I acknowledge that I've been hurt, but I'm making a choice. I'm making a choice to forgive, God. I'm going to release them to you, and I'm going to let you be the judge. And God, I thank you that as we do that, even now, that you're removing places of dirtiness and poison that collects inside of our hearts, and it's creating space for you to come in with your peace. So God, I thank you that you're going to be faithful to complete this process that you're even beginning now in these listeners' hearts. And I thank you that you're going to bring them to freedom to believe, God, that you're faithful to them even when others let us down. And God, I thank you for blessing them and restoring their hearts and restoring their hope in your people.
Thank you. If someone's looking for a church in the Toledo area, tell us a little bit more about City Light Church.
Yeah, City Light is an awesome church. Pastor Trevor Carr is the new lead pastor there. And so Sarah and I get the awesome pleasure of being the founding pastors that sit in the back. And now we complain that the music's too loud and, you know, all those things that grumpy old people do. We love the community there. Over there on Alexis and Telegraph. And I love our location. It's historically known as the red light district, so there's lots of strip clubs around, and we love being a light in the darkness. And even since we've been there, we've seen some strip clubs close.
Oh, good.
While we were the pastors there, we put a big old sign on top of the building, City Light Church, and neon lights, and I needed to make sure that our sign matched, you know, the other strip clubs around, so we didn't want them to outshine us.
Awesome. And do you have any other churches throughout Northwest Ohio?
Yeah, we're affiliated with a handful of churches. Intersection Church over there in Oregon. Actually, I think Jake Richards goes to Intersection Church. And then New Life Church up in Petersburg, Michigan. We have a church in Dundee and Clarkston, Michigan. I have a few church plants, one in Lansing and Grand Rapids. Those are really fun. They're Congolese pastors that came over as refugees, one as a political refugee and one in it as a war, conflict G. Both of these amazing men of God make what they've gone through and how they've overcome and still can share the gospel with people. So, yeah, those are all the churches that are in kind of to where we're at.
And anything special coming up that you guys want to make us aware of?
Well, Sarah, you got some fun going on in Wauseon. I hear we have some Wauseon listeners,
don't
we? Yeah,
oh yeah, we have a full frequency out there, yeah.
Well, we are still working on the details for that, and in different churches, one of the things that our ministry has expanded to do, in addition to providing those personal sessions, we have been bringing seminars to us that help people corporately walk through some of the issues of the heart to encounter God in his heart. And so we'll be doing a seminar out in Wauseon, but we've also been doing them in different churches, actually throughout the nation. So if anyone would be interested who's listening, having a corporate seminar at their church or in their ministry, you can connect with us at tctoledo.org, and we'd be happy to schedule you and get your group just lined up to have a corporate experience.
Sarah, if they wanted more information, they could probably connect with you on Facebook, couldn't they?
Yes, we've also started recently a Facebook group called Revealing the Sons and Daughters. That's a great place for you to connect with these things, have been of interest to you. Ultimately, is that the issues of our heart, everything flows from it. Everything flows from that. And so I like to look at the connection between what's going on in our heart and destiny. And the scripture says that all creation is waiting for this revelation of the sons and daughters. And some of you, I think, who are even listening, there's something inside of you that says, I'm here for a purpose. I'm here to fulfill destiny. And this group is a place to be encouraged as a son and a daughter in the promises of God, in discovering how to walk in all that He's called you to. So you can connect with us there on Facebook, Revealing the Sons and Daughters group.
So it's a group, not necessarily a page.
Okay. Yep. And is there, what's the best way to get in contact with your ministry and find out more information?
Yeah, for church planting, ram.network is our, not Facebook page, it's our website, ram.network. So that's a good way to touch base with me and what we're doing.
All right. That's George and Sarah Williams from A City Light Ministries. Thanks for chatting with us this morning. Wow. Guys are doing some great things. Keep up the great work, and we'll pray that God continues and blesses your ministry.
Hey, thanks so much.
Great chatting with you. It is 10:04 on Yes FM, and Sarah is off today because we're having our staff Christmas party, so we're just not going to have any DJs on here for between 10 and 2, but we still have the music. And it's Timeless Beats, the best spot of yesterday, today, forever, all the way till 2 o'clock on Yes FM.